When we think of the warning of God in His Word, and we think of sin and changing sin and redefining sin, how often in our own hearts we could be guilty of that. Redefining sin in our own minds to justify sin, to justify what we do. But yet we're to remind ourselves that God judges sin. And therefore we're not to live as if we are those in Genesis chapter 6. We're to live as the people of God. He was a righteous man. And that righteous man is to be a picture of us as we live righteously for Christ in a wicked and corrupt generation.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. And welcome to our program today. It's good to have you with us. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I am Andrew Fitton. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider a message taken from Genesis chapter 9, and the whole context of that passage being the great worldwide flood in Noah's day. A true account that is a picture of the judgment that is to come. We're going to consider the rainbow specifically, and the sermon is entitled When Rainbows Preach.
I want to draw your attention this evening to Genesis chapter 9 and the verse number 12. Genesis 9 and the verse 12, and the Word of God says, "And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between thee, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. In our modern day context, the rainbow and its colors are often used to promote certain social agendas. In fact, it is in this month of June that we often see the prominence of the rainbow flag, as it is called, in society. Retail stores, businesses, and social media accounts all use the colors of the rainbow to set forth an inclusive message. But when we consider the rainbow itself, it is a symbol that is first used by the God of heaven in Genesis chapter 9. It is mentioned for the first time in the verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud. And the reason for this sign or this symbol is given, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And after judging the world for its widespread corruption and sin, God made a gracious covenant with Noah and all creation. And the rainbow was God's divine pledge never again to destroy the earth with a flood. It is a sign of mercy. It is a sign of faithfulness. It is a sign of restraint, even though man remains wicked and sinful. And so the biblical symbol of the rainbow is a covenant sign from God to man. It is a reminder of judgment that has taken place and mercy that has been extended. It is a symbol of God's holiness and God's grace. And we remind ourselves of that, that it has been given by God that it means these things. In society today, it is used as a symbol of human pride and identity. It is used as an emblem of man's self-expression. It is associated with rebellion against biblical standards. And it is designed and used by men. Its purpose is entirely different from the purpose of God in Scripture. And we should understand then, as the people of God, what this symbol of the rainbow means. What does it mean to us as believers? What does it mean to us when we consider God's covenant and God's plan of redemption? What does the rainbow signify? And so tonight, that is what we are going to consider. And thinking of these verses in Genesis chapter 9, and moving from verse 11 down to verse number 17, we see this token, this covenant, this rainbow in view. And our subject tonight is simply when rainbows preach. The rainbow in Scripture has a sermon for us. It is not the kind of sermon that I get to sit down and the rainbow obviously can't preach the same way as we would understand preaching tonight, but it has a message. It preaches a message to us. It preaches a message to the people of God. It preaches a message to those who are in their sins. And firstly, we see that it preaches God's judgment upon sin. It preaches God's judgment upon sin. The rainbow appeared in the sky after a period of time in which the God of heaven judged the sin of this world. The world was judged in the days of Noah. The world perished. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. There are many today in this world who will turn and say, well, the events that we have here, it's a myth. It's make-believe. They will deny Adam and Eve existed. They will deny the existence of Noah. They will cast doubt upon how a man and his sons built a ship many thousands of years ago. And when we think of the size of the ark, going back to those years and that generation, they were unable to make such a ship. Well, we find God gave them the plans. God showed them how to build it. And when we come to Genesis 6, it is rejected as myth. It is rejected as some sort of Jewish legend. But what we have here in Genesis, and we alluded to this in our opening prayer, we have God's revelation that has the stamp of God's authority upon it. Why do we believe Genesis 6? Why do we go to Genesis 1 and believe that God created the earth in the way that he did in 6 literal days? Because that is what the Word of God teaches. It is God's authority upon it. Genesis chapter 6, we have it again, an account that this world will deny, but yet the God of heaven has said, this is true, this has happened. And of course, there is evidence that has been set forth to defend the reality of this account. That's not our subject this evening. But if you go online, and there are many sound sources where there is a great abundance of evidence as to why there was once a global flood. Genesis chapter 6 gives us the reasons for that flood. And the reason for that flood can be summed up in one simple little three-letter word, sin. Sin caused the fall of man. Sin caused the judgment of God in the days of Noah. Sin will cause judgment again as God comes in a future time and judges this world for its sin. And the judgment that took place here in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7 is a judgment that is a type of the judgment that will come upon the world in a future day. And we find here in Genesis 6 that the God of heaven in verse 5 saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And this is a consequence of man's fall into sin. A man lived without God. Man lived for himself. His wickedness was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Every day he lived against God. Every day he sinned against God. Every day he lived in rebellion to his Creator. And we are reminded in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ compares the days of Noah to the days in which Christ will return, the day of the coming of the Son of Man, and he compares those days and says that it will be like the days of Noah when men ate and they drank and they gave in marriage and they had no concern for anything until the flood came and took them away. Is that not a reminder not only of Noah's generation, but our generation? A generation that lives in sin. A generation that lives, eats, and drinks, and enjoys themselves. That's the meaning of what the Savior is saying. We need to eat and drink. It is good to marry in the Lord. But these things can become an obsession, and the emphasis on those things is that these men and women live for nothing else but for the enjoyment and the indulgence of the flesh. God was not in their mind. God was not in their thoughts. God was not upon their hearts. And they lived according to themselves. They were their own judges. They were those that did what they thought was right. They lived according to their own understanding. And the Word of God, the authority of God, reminds us we're not to live according to our own understanding. We are to live in light of what God has set forth in His Word. This is a biblical narrative. It is biblical history. It is something that reminds us of what will come. And the Savior made that connection in Matthew 24. And the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that the account here in Genesis 6 is true history. It happened. But what does man do? In his wickedness, man comes to this account and man casts scorn upon it. And man mocks it. And man says, this did not take place. Some years ago, there's a Hollywood movie entitled Noah. Oh, a Hollywood movie. A biblical movie. Is that not a good thing? Well, it's so bad, I've never seen it, nor would I want to see it. And I pity those who did endure to see it. I don't think it was much of a blessing at all. And that movie corrupts the biblical narrative. And as Christians, we need to be careful. Oh, there can be accounts in novels, accounts in entertainment, in movies, where the truth of God is used to create a movie, a film, a television show. I believe there's one about David that has recently been released at some stage. I don't know what it's like. But the purpose of Hollywood is not to help ground you in your biblical understanding. It's not to educate you or to evangelize you according to the Word of God. If a church decided we're going to make a movie about some biblical event, there will likely be an evangelistic message behind it. And likely that may not even happen. We're to preach the Word of God. But Hollywood's emphasis is upon entertainment. And the truth of God and the doctrines we have in view here in Genesis 6 about the sin of man does not entertain. It should bring fear. It should bring spiritual concern. We're not to be entertained by the account of God's judgment here. And what does Hollywood do? And what did it do regarding the movie of Noah? It removed the emphasis of sin. It removed the emphasis upon the judgment of God. And we're to be very careful. We can think of many Hollywood productions over the years, even recent ones, and how things have come in to those productions that are not of God. And what do you expect when those who are not believers create something about the Bible that is solely for entertainment? We need to be careful. We need to be discerning. And as we think of that film, there's many things that could be said. Noah was presented as an unstable character. We find there was a group called the Watchers that are an invention based on extra-biblical lore. In other words, they are based on things that are not found in the Word of God. God's message and God's presence and God's speech are removed. The message of the covenant and the gospel themes were not there. The purpose of the ark and the message of the ark were distorted. And what is the great purpose or the message of the ark of God? It is to point to the Lord Jesus Christ as the great ark of salvation for His people. There are many other things that could be said, but the emphasis is that man takes the accounts of God's judgment and he twists them and he corrupts them in his wickedness and in his sin to take away from that great message of warning that God has given in His Word. And this was a time when the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And in the midst of it all, what does God do? God steps in. And God judges the world. God judges for sin. And we're reminded of sin in Scripture. The wages of sin is death. Sin is rebellion against God. And sin is something that has passed down those generations. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Each one of us was born in sin. And our lives have been affected by sin and marred in sin. Maybe tonight you're still in your sin. You haven't turned to Christ for salvation. You haven't received the forgiveness of sin because you've never repented of that sin. Just like God's judgment being upon the world in Genesis 6, God's judgment will one day be upon you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sin of Noah's day was great. There were those in that generation who would have known something of the truth of God. Many of the descendants of Seth would have been in their last days. Enoch was a man who did not die but was translated to glory. Methuselah died the year the flood came. Noah was a witness for God and for truth, a preacher of righteousness. There was that gospel witness. And what happened? Man ignored it. Man did not listen. The ark was built before their eyes and they ignored the great message that was conveyed. Maybe that's a picture of you tonight. You hear righteousness preached. You hear the gospel set forth. You hear the truth of God and the warnings of sin. But like those of Noah's day, it's put away. Maybe there's procrastination instead of an outright rejection in your mind, and you put it off to do it another day. At some stage in the future, I'll sort this matter out with God, but not right now. Whatever these people did in Genesis 6, it was not enough, because when the flood came, who was in the ark? Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. There was nobody else, and the flood covered the earth. And we are reminded then of this rainbow that came after the flood. God placed it in the sky as a remembrance of his judgment upon sin, a remembrance that he judged the world, that the sin of man demands a response of judgment from the God of heaven. And the rainbow that we see here in Genesis 9, the rainbow we see often in the sky, is a reminder that God judges sin. That is one of the fundamental messages of the Bible. That is something that we cannot get away from. The rainbow appeared after the judgment of the world. The rainbow, it tells us that this is a world that is under judgment. We find in Genesis 9 in the verse 11 that the Lord says that he will not cut off all flesh by the waters of a flood again, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. The summary and some quotation of Genesis 9 verse 11. In other words, God will not judge the world again by a flood. That does not mean God will never judge the world again, because we're reminded in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 that he will judge with fire. That the end of the world is coming, that there is a judgment. The rainbow reminds us that judgment is delayed. And God has given mercy and showed mercy upon us. And so the rainbow preaches to you, it preaches to me, the judgment of God upon sin. It preaches the coming judgment of God. That one day this earth will not continue. One day this earth will face its end. And there will be judgment. And that is something that has the stamp of God upon it. It cannot be avoided. It cannot be set aside. It cannot be ignored, for either you deal with your sin or you will stand before God as he deals with your sin. Sin is dealt by the Savior through the work of redemption, or sin is dealt with by you through the judgment of God upon your sin. There are two ways, Christ or yourself. Christ paying the penalty, Christ dying in your place, repentance and looking to Christ, resting in the ark of Christ, or paying the penalty of eternal judgment. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today in his morning and evening to Micah chapter 5 and verse 4. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Christ's reign in his church is that of a shepherd king. He has supremacy, but it is the superiority of a wise and tender shepherd over his needy and loving flock. He commands and receives obedience, but it is the willing obedience of the well-cared-for sheep, rendered joyfully to their beloved shepherd, whose voice they know so well. He rules by the force of love and the energy of goodness. His reign is practical in its character. It is said, he shall stand and feed. The great head of the church is actively engaged in providing for his people. He does not sit down upon the throne in empty state or hold a scepter without wielding it in government. No, he stands and feeds. The expression feed in the original is like one in the Greek, which means to shepherdize, to do everything expected of a shepherd, to guide, to watch, to preserve, to restore, to tend, as well as to feed. His reign is continual in its duration. It is said, he shall stand and feed. Not, he shall feed now and then and leave his position. Not, he shall one day grant a revival and then next day leave his church to barrenness. His eyes never slumber and his hands never rest. His heart never ceases to beat with love, and his shoulders are never weary of carrying his people's burdens. His reign is effectually powerful in its action. He shall feed in the strength of Jehovah. Wherever Christ is, there is God, and whatever Christ does is the act of the Most High. Oh, it is a joyful truth to consider that he who stands today representing the interests of his people is very God of very God, to whom every knee shall bow. Happy are we who belong to such a shepherd, whose humanity communes with us, and whose divinity protects us. Let us worship and bow down before him as the people of his pasture. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that the ministry of God's word has been a rich blessing to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.